Welcome to Earth Matters, a weekly show that discusses environmental and conservation issues that affect us here in Grant County, around New Mexico, nationally and globally. This is Allison Civic, Executive Director of Gila Resources Information Project, and I'm your host for today's program. The Gila Resources Information Project, also known as GRIP, is a nonprofit environmental organization that works to promote community health by protecting our environment and natural resources here in southwest New Mexico. GRIP is also a partner in the Gila Conservation Coalition, along with Upper Gila Watershed Alliance and the Center for Biological Diversity. The coalition works to protect the free flow of the Gila River, New Mexico's last wild river. Joining us today are Ron Henry and Mary Burton Risley, both of whom will soon begin their journeys on the Camino de Santiago de Compostela in Spain and will dedicate their walk to protecting the Gila River. Thanks very much for joining us today, Ron and Mary.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Allison.
So this is an amazing journey that you both will be undertaking, and I'm hoping that you can tell us more about El Camino Walk for the Gila. Ron, would you like to go first?
Sure. I walked about the last 200 miles of El Camino de Santiago last year, and the Camino is a pilgrimage that's been going for at least 1,000 years. And it was tens of thousands of people walked it in the old days, and then it fell out of favor somewhat during the past century, but then has renewed, and thousands and thousands of people walk that Camino from all over the world. And I'm planning to walk again this year. I'm hoping to walk the part of the Camino that I didn't walk last year.
I have never walked the Camino before, but I have wanted to do it for a long time, and I've known a number of people who have done it. And when I turned 70 last fall, I began to think, you know, this is now or never time. And so I made my decision in January to go, and I decided to dedicate the walk to saving the Gila after I went to two very discouraging meetings about diverting water from the Gila River in March. So that's how the walk for the Gila part came about for me.
Well, for me, the way that came about was last, actually early in February. I had not really planned to go back and walk again, but just something, several events happened, and I just got this incredible surge of energy and passion that led me to decide to walk the river, walk the Camino again, and to try to walk the part that I hadn't walked. I really wanted to walk through the Pyrenees Mountains. And at the time, my left brain said, why would you do that? And I really didn't have an answer. I just knew that it was from the heart, and I couldn't say no. And maybe a little bit later, I'll say how the rest of that developed.
Okay. So I, in doing research for this program, I had to check out a lot of sites, and I watched the movie The Way, and I didn't realize this, but close to 200,000 people a year walk the Camino. But yet, around here, sometimes you tell people about it, and people have no clue. So maybe you can tell us a little bit more about what this pilgrimage is. Ron, you mentioned a little bit, this has been around for 1,000 years, but you know, who is a typical pilgrim? Why do people walk this 500-mile trail, really?
I don't think there is a typical pilgrim. I highly recommend to people the movie The Way, which is made by Martin Sheen and his son. And even in that movie, one guy who becomes a star of the movie is walking to lose weight. One woman is walking to quit smoking. But I also saw a movie made by a religious order in which a couple decided to take their honeymoon walking the Camino. And so they walked a lot faster than I will. And they did it in 3.5 weeks. Mm-hmm. But I think that people do it for a number of reasons. But a pilgrimage is something that you're dedicated to. It is something that you know is going to be hard and that you've made up your mind you're just going to discipline yourself to do it. And for me, I was a hiking guide for a while in Santa Fe. I've always been an outdoors person since the late 1960s. So the idea of being alone out in nature was very appealing to me. But now I find out there are many, many people on the Camino, even in September and October.
Right. Allison, you said 200,000 people, and what I'm understanding is that on during a holy year, which is just every several years, there's that many people. In a normal year, there's around 100,000, and that sounds like a lot of people, but if you divide that by the number of months, it's 8,000 or 10,000 people a month, although in the wintertime, very few people walk, and so it's a lot more, it is rather crowded in July and August. But in terms of why people walk, originally it was a totally religious pilgrimage, and people mostly walked for penance, for forgiveness of sins. And even sometimes they would be given, if they were a criminal, their sentence would be to walk the Camino, and if they walked the Camino, then they didn't have to serve their time. But as Mary said, people walk for a lot of different reasons. For me, the difference between, say, a hike mm-hmm. or a walk for on a vacation or whatever and a pilgrimage is that a couple of things. One is that the pilgrimage is you're walking for days and days and days. Repeatedly, you're getting up every morning and walking. It's not like going for a hike here on a Saturday. Secondly, it's a pilgrimage. I think some hikes can be close to a pilgrimage in the sense that if you're going to really absorb nature, if you're going for an openness to what happens, but a pilgrimage can be a time of contemplation, a time of meditation, and can be done with a definite intention in mind. Mm-hmm. And that may differentiate it from a lot of other kinds of walking.
And what's the significance of Santiago, Spain? There's a big cathedral there, and that's the end point of the...
Well, Catholics believe that that St. James the Great, there were two apostles named James, James the Less and James the Great, that he, after the crucifixion of Jesus, he went to Galicia in northwest Spain and evangelized for a number of years. And then he went back to Palestine, and Herod lopped off his head. So he was buried in Palestine. But he had left behind many Christian converts. So around 800, a bishop in Santiago wanted to bring his remains back to Galicia because he had done so much work there, and he'd founded Christianity there. So they brought his remains. They exhumed his body and brought the remains back, and they are supposed to be buried in that cathedral. So at the end of the walk, when you go in the cathedral, many people kiss this particular column. That you might know more about that because mm-hmm. you did the last part of the walk.
Yes, and there's a crypt there.
Yes.
That many people believe contain the remains of St. James. Mm-hmm. And I think it's traditional amongst a lot of pilgrimages that you go to a holy site, and a lot of times there's remains of some saint or whatever. And again, people today walk it for a lot of different reasons. Some people are walk it because of the remains of St. James are purported to be there. Other people, that's not a big thing to them. They're walking it for various reasons, as Mary's already pointed out.
And the Camino, really, historically, right, there were pilgrims that came from all over Europe to get to Santiago, right?
Yes, so, that's correct.
The route that you all will be taking is Camino Francis, right?
Francis.
That's
Francis.
Correct.
Francis,
mm-hmm.
yes. Which starts where and ends where?
Well, it really starts in three places in France. One, it's, some people come from Paris, some people come from Arles, and some people come from Vézelay. And so the place that they all coalesce is the place where we both will start, just over the Pyrenees in France, Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port. And there, those three routes come together.
I see. Okay.
Then there's the Camino La Plata, which comes from Sevilla in the far south of Spain. And there's the Camino Inglés that comes from the very northern part, which is a short one because you just, I guess you take the boat over from England and then walk down. And then there's another route that goes along the northern coast of Spain.
And are all these other routes as developed as Camino Francés?
They're not. There's another route that's pretty well developed, I think, and that's the one through Portugal. Uh-huh. But yes, this is the most developed route. This is the most traditional of the routes. And traditionally, of course, 1,000 years ago and even hundreds of years ago, people started in Europe from their front door.
Yeah.
And they walked from wherever they were in Europe all the way to Santiago. And now many pilgrims arrive and start in Saint-Jean and walk up approximately 500 miles. But you don't have to do that. You can start your pilgrimage anywhere along one of these routes that you care to start, which is what I did last year. I started about 200 miles back from Santiago and did the last couple hundred miles.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the pilgrim's passport. What is that?
Okay, the pilgrim's passport is a passport that, you know, it's not an official passport of a country. It's a passport that you do need if you want to be able to stay in the hostels that are all along the route. You have to present that in order to say that you're a pilgrim and that you can stay in the hostels. And the other thing about that, and you get the passport stamped at a hostel or little cafes or bars or restaurants all along the way. Most of those places have passport stamps. And that, when you arrive in Santiago, proves that you actually walked it because you get it stamped at least once a day. And in the last 100 kilometers, you're required to have it stamped twice a day if you want the Compostela, which is the credential that says that you walked the Camino.
Interesting. Huh. Who issues the passport? How is this sort of managed? Who's the authority?
There are societies of St. James. I'm not sure if that's the correct term or not. In lots of different countries, and there's one here in the United States, and you can order the passport from them. It doesn't cost anything. And you can also obtain the passport along the way at various places in France or Spain.
I think they call themselves the Confraternity.
Yes,
of
that's
St.
correct.
James, or if it's in Spanish,
yes,
it would be different. But that's the phrase. And they provide a lot of services to people, a lot of information and so forth. So although the passport is free, they ask for a donation to cover those expenses.
Okay, we'll be right back after this short break with more about El Camino Walk for the Gila. Welcome back to Earth Matters. We're here today with our guests Ron Henry and Mary Burton Risley, who will be walking the Camino de Santiago de Compostela in Spain to support efforts to protect the Gila River. And what I'd like to do this in this segment is really kind of understand why each of you are personally embarking on this journey. Each of you have a story, which you share in video as well as written on the website for this effort, and we'll give folks that website at the end of the program. But maybe we can talk a little bit more about that. Mary, would you like to start?
I have been a member of the Religious Society of Friends since 1970, and I don't know how much people know about Quakers, but Quakers believe that it is in silence that we can experience the presence of the divine. And I not only experienced that in meeting, but also in nature. And so I've been very involved in hiking for a number of years, both as a hiking guide in Santa Fe for 8 years, but also just as a person who would walk with my dog, you know, out my front door. And when I heard about the Camino and the idea of doing a pilgrimage And doing it by myself, understanding that there are thousands of other people who do this, and I'm certainly not going to spend all the time by myself, it really appealed to me. And I have no idea what will happen to me spiritually, but I feel a great sense of openness and hopefulness that this will be a very transcendent experience for me. And so I decided to go last winter, and then, as I mentioned earlier, I decided to dedicate the walk to efforts to save the Gila River. I don't know, again, how much people listening to us know, but there are really powerful forces from outside of our region who are pressing to build huge canals and huge pipelines to take the water out of some of the water out of the Gila River, at times perhaps most of the river water out of the river, and pipe it across the Continental Divide to the Luna County areas and even to Las Cruces. So I live along the river, and I love the river very much. I've owned land on the river since 1981, and I really want to do anything I can to save the river. And I believe, as Mother Teresa does, that it's not possible to do great things, but it is possible to do small things with great love. And that's the way I see this. This is a very small thing, but I hope to pour as much love into it as I can.
And Ron, what about you? This is the second time you'll be doing the Camino. And tell us, maybe you can tell us a little bit about why this year you're, and I know you touched on it a little bit before, but maybe you could expand and tell us a little bit more why you're doing this for the Gila River.
Okay, well, first I'll just mention that I had wanted to do this pilgrimage for a very long time, and finally decided last year in 2012 that I would do the pilgrimage. And I went with an intention, which I will not particularly disclose at this time, but my in addition to the intention that I went with, I was also just opened myself to try to be open to whatever would come my way on the Camino. I'd like to say that for me, it was I walked alone, although on occasions I would walk with other people because there's a lot of people walking. But for me, it was the perfect balance of solitude and community. When you're walking this, it's I don't know how to explain it, but you just feel this really strong bond with every other pilgrim that you encounter. You don't necessarily know why they're walking, or there are specific reasons, but you're all walking and you're doing the same thing in a sense. And you just have this deep sense that you're connected, and that if you need help, someone will help you. If someone needs help, you will help them. So there's that sense of community, but there are hours and hours and hours of solitude walking alone. So this year, as I've already said, when I decided to go back, I really could not explain what it was that was drawing me to go back. But a couple of months after I had made the decision, that's when I discovered the situation with the Gila River, that there were forces that were trying to divert the river. And all of a sudden, it just dawned on me, you know, this is why I'm walking. Now, it may not be the only reason I'm walking, because, again, I'm going for spiritual reasons. I'm going for whatever may come my way. But walking for the river adds another level, a really deep level for me walking this year.
That's great. And so you both have touched on this, but tell us a little bit more about how El Camino walk for the Gila is really going to, what are you hoping to do with this effort? You both are actually going separately.
Yes.
You're each walking mm-hmm. alone. Mary, I think you're leaving before Ron, but you know, you've sort of joined forces in this effort to help support the Gila River. So tell us more what you're hoping to do with El Camino walk for the Gila.
Well, it's so interesting that Ron and I have known each other as casual friends for years, but, you know, I had no idea that he was doing this and he had no idea that I was doing this. But my hope is that through talking to people, sending out letters, sending out emails, explaining the situation with the river, I can develop among my friends all over the country, but also here, a stronger sense of commitment to saving the river. And also, I'm asking people to support the efforts through the Gila Conservation Coalition to prevent the what I think would be the ruin of this beautiful last free-flowing river in New Mexico, to support them. And then I plan to take a list of the names of the donors, some of which will be friends, whole friends meetings, and some will be individuals. Take those names with me, and I won't know the amounts at all. I don't care about that. But I will look at that list every day before I start walking, and I'll hold some of those names in my heart and hold them in the light, Quakers say. I'll pray for them while I'm walking. And I just realized a couple of weeks ago, I burst out laughing, that this is a little trick I'm playing on myself. Because if I get really tired and sore and would otherwise just throw in the towel and say, I'm just going to go to Barcelona, I won't be able to do that because I'll feel obligated to all the people who have given. So it will really help me stick with this walk. And so it just is, it's unfolding. Quakers have an expression, the way opens. The way is opening for me to go on this pilgrimage, and I'm very grateful.
Well, yes, I'm walking for the river, and I'm seeking sponsorships for my walk as a way to support the efforts to preserve the river, efforts to educate people in our region and out of our region on the needs of the river. And it's completely consistent with my spirituality, because my spirituality is inextricably tied to the earth and the whole of creation. And the Gila River is such a precious resource to us in this area. And so that's the connection for me.
Yeah, and Ron, you this will be the second time that you've walked the mm-hmm. Camino, and I'm curious, what did you learn on your first trip, or what insights did you gain from your pilgrimage? And I think that's interesting, and also maybe compelled you to want to do it again.
Well, I'll just start out by saying it was one of the highlights of my life. That's very subjective. I can't really explain why. But I got up every morning, and I didn't know, you know, frankly, I'm not a real experienced backpacker or hiker, but I got up every morning, and I was filled with joy and energy, and I couldn't wait to walk. Now, I have to say that later in the day, sometimes it was just a matter of putting one foot in front of the other. But as I said earlier, I went with an intention, which is rather private, but I can say that, as I said before, I went also with an openness to what might come my way. And I can give you just a couple of those things. I got lost about three times.
Everyone does, I mean, I think.
It's pretty well marked. But if you start out before daybreak in the dark, it's very easy to miss one of those little yellow arrows or one of those shells that are the signposts for the walk. And I got lost two or three times. And you know how you can see these titles on a book that seem rather trite? Like, for example, Everywhere You Go, There You Are? Mm-hmm. Well, it can take on a deeper meaning in certain circumstances. And there's another one, don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and It's All Small Stuff. And both of those titles actually came to me at times when I was, I think it's an exaggeration to say I was lost, because I knew my way back, but I wasn't where I was supposed to be. And maybe pretty far off of where I was supposed to be. And those titles came to me, and they had a much deeper meaning than they had ever had before. Okay, everywhere I go, here I am. Mm-hmm. I do have myself here. So that's one example of one thing that happened for me on the walk.
And Mary, what are you hoping to learn or gain insights about on this trip?
Well, I'm looking forward to the other pilgrims who I will meet, because I think anyone who makes a commitment to do this walk is going to have some spiritual depth that I can plumb and enjoy, and that they will have a gift for me. Whoever I meet on the pilgrimage will have a gift for me. So that's one of the things I'm looking forward to.
Well, it sounds very exciting. We are going to take a short break right now and be back with our guests Ron Henry and Mary Burton Risley. And we're going to learn more about the daily details of the Camino Walk for the Gila. Welcome back to Earth Matters. We're here today with our guests Ron Henry and Mary Burton Risley, and we're discussing their upcoming journey along the Camino de Santiago de Compostela that's dedicated to Gila River protection. And so let's get into the nitty-gritty details. I'm so curious about what each of you are going to do, how long your journeys are, and sort of the specifics, the daily things that you're going to have to be dealing with, how many miles you're going to walk, how heavy are your backpacks, those sorts of things. So I don't know, Mary or Ron, who'd like to start?
Well, I'll start. I'm this year walking the entire length. And
which is how many miles?
490 miles.
Okay.
And that's from Saint-Jean-Pied-à-Port, which is just over the Pyrenees from Spain in France, and ends up at Santiago de Compostela. I'm hoping that I'll have enough energy at the end to continue walking to what used to be called the end of the earth, Finisterre or Finisterra, which is a traditional place that people would go. And they also would sometimes burn their clothes. There's a pit there for people to burn their clothes. And since I'm only taking one change of clothes, I'm taking one walking skirt and one pair of pants, I probably will be ready to burn them by
probably
the time I get there. Maybe I can buy something else to put on my body. I've sort of planned my trip to be 10 miles a day, 6 days a week. And then the seventh day, I will take a day off. And I really have lots of time. I have about 7 or 8 before my return flight, 7 or 8 flex days. And those are in case I sprain an ankle or something like that. But also, if I have the energy, all of my reading has told me that there are some really interesting places that are little detours off of the Camino, a monastery or an aqueduct from Roman times. And so if I'm going along and I'm doing fine, my energy's up, I might have time to take a few of those little detours. I'm planning to stay in the albergues, which are these hostels for pilgrims. They're very reasonable. They cost 5 to 9 euros per night. It's $1.26 to the euro now. Some of them are by donation. Some of them have cooking facilities. So this is an affordable trip, I think. Well, not for everybody, but, you know, I can afford it. So that's my plan. We'll see what happens.
And how heavy is your backpack, Mary?
I just weighed it today, and with my boots, which, you know, you're not carrying it in the same way you are your backpack, but you are carrying them, I have 18 pounds, and I weigh 120. They said don't carry more than 15% of your body weight, so I'm right on the mark.
Wow. Wow. And how many days will it take? So, sorry, I didn't do the math, but you
said
10.
If it's 10 miles a day, it's 49 days.
Okay.
And then since I'm taking one day off a week, that's 56 days. And my trip, I put in, you know, a week extra. So we'll just see you know, if I have the energy to walk out to Finisterre, I'd love to do that.
And you're leaving the end of August.
Yeah, I fly from Los Angeles on, it's actually cheaper to fly from Los Angeles than from Albuquerque or Phoenix, go figure. It's much farther away from Spain and New York, but it's cheaper. So I fly from Los Angeles on August 31st.
Very good.
So it's September and October that I'll be walking.
Okay. All right. And Ron, what about you? How many miles are you going to be doing?
Well, I'm hoping to walk from Saint-Jean to about the point that I started my journey last year, and that would be somewhere around 320 miles, 300 to 320 miles. And my hope is to walk that portion and then hop on a bus and ride the bus through the portion that I walked last year to Santiago. And when I arrive in Santiago, if I can still walk, I would like to walk onto the ocean as well. I went onto the ocean last year by bus to Finisterre, and I'm not sure if I'm going to walk. There are two points that are traditional that you can walk to on the Atlantic Ocean from Santiago. One is Musha, and the other one is Finisterre. Finisterre, the two words that make that up in Spanish, really means end of the earth or end of the world. And in the olden days, pilgrims thought when they got to the shore and they looked out and saw the horizon that was basically the end of the world.
Wow.
And so that's my plan for walking. Last year, my shortest day was 10 miles, and my longest day was 20. I have to say the 20-mile days were pretty rugged for me, but I averaged about 15 miles a day, and that's how I'm computing it this year on average, that I'll probably walk about 15 miles a day.
And how heavy is your backpack?
Well, last year my pack was, I packed lighter than my friend here, Mary. I was repeatedly told on different sites that you want to pack in 10% of your weight or less.
Wow.
And so I packed in about 15 pounds. And that included about 2 pounds of water that I carried every day, which was really not enough water to get through the day, but there are lots of places you can stop and drink water. So basically, I took one change of clothes, took about 3 pair of socks and 3 pair of underwear, and layered in the morning, had a windbreaker, a long sleeve shirt, long sleeve undershirt that I could push the sleeves up, and I would take the layers off as the day went on. You have to take rain gear. Last year it didn't rain at all, but it usually does. So you have to take your rain gear, a few toiletry items, and so forth. I took an extra pair of shoes because I walk in very lightweight running shoes, and I wanted a pair of shoes that I could change into for the evenings.
Did you carry food?
I carried a little bit of food, but not a lot. Mm-hmm. There are cafes all along the way, and I carried... sometimes I would carry a little carton of yogurt or some cheese and bread or some fruit and nuts, things like that, to tide me over until I could get to a place to eat.
So, Ron, in talking about this with you in preparation for this interview, it sounds like there's definitely a schedule, right? There's sort of the things that you do. You get up in the morning, you go... at the end of the day, you have to find a place to sleep. You got to wash your clothes. You got to eat. Yep. I mean, how does that all work? What's the routine?
Well, different people have different routines, but the one that most of the seasoned pilgrims recommend is that you start early in the morning and you walk 5, 6 hours, 7 hours maybe, but that you arrive early afternoon at the place where you hope to sleep for two reasons. One is to avoid the hottest part of the afternoon, and secondly, so you can find a place to stay without a lot of trouble. And so that's basically what I did last year. I did start, when I got lost two or three times, I learned that you either start right at daybreak so that you can see what you're doing, or if you are in a town or a city and you're going to leave before light, I would always check my, after I got lost a few times, I would check my route out of town so that I knew exactly how to get out of town so that I wouldn't get off then. But that's what I did. I walked from early morning until early afternoon usually. Two times I walked until late afternoon, and those were very hard days, and I ran out of water both of those times, and I don't recommend it. And like I said before, by that time, you're kind of just putting one foot in front of the other.
And then you find your place, yeah. and the first thing you do is your clothes?
Absolutely. And actually, the hardest thing for me on the Camino every day was arriving and washing my clothes. The first thing you do is that you get in the shower and you clean yourself up and you wash the clothes, because those, you only have one set of clothes extra. Those clothes need to be dry by the next day so that you can carry them on or even wear them. And I was always so tired that just washing those clothes by hand and hanging them out was one of the most difficult things that I did. But you do that every day. Yes.
Mm. Wow.
And the hostels and the pensions, and I would think, and probably the and the B&Bs are all nearly all set up for you to wash your clothes and hang them out somewhere. And I stayed. I stayed mostly in pensions last year, which are just kind of one step down from a hotel, and they're quite a lot cheaper. This year, at least half the time, I've tried to budget for staying in pensions when I really need to and just feel like I have to have a private room. but I'm going to be staying in hostels or albergues a lot more this year.
So albergues have dormitory-style bedrooms.
And I will just say that that ranges from 4 to 6 people in a room all the way to 120 people in one room.
Oh,
in
wow.
bunk beds.
In bunk beds. And I'm trying to accustom myself to earplugs and so forth so that I can tolerate that. But right. I don't sleep very well in the same room with other people. So that's going to be a challenge for me.
I'm very fortunate. I didn't even hear the rain last night, and people said, "Did you hear the rain last night?" I'm a very sound sleeper.
And what about food? Do you eat at the albergues, or do you go out and eat in restaurants?
Some of the albergues have a meal that's served in the evening on a donation basis. Some of them do not. Some of the albergues have kitchens. Some of them are well equipped, and you can buy food in the market and cook there. And some of them, the kitchens are not well equipped. I guess I'd say every day. And this was one of the growing points for me, because I tend to be a planner. And I would say that on the Camino, you learn to wing it.
Right.
Day by day by
day. Every
day
is a new day, as they say.
You never get up in the morning and know how that day is going to turn out. You don't even know. You may have a goal that I'm going to make it to Ponferrada tonight, and you may or you may not. Or like I did one time, I thought I was going to make it to a certain place, and I got there, and I didn't like the surroundings, and I walked on, and that was one of my hardest days, because I had to walk 8 miles more for the next place, and that was 20 miles.
Wow.
And I was walking through the wilderness, and I didn't even see another pilgrim, and it was hot, and I ran out of water.
Wow.
So you never know.
Right.
I mean, and that's one of the things about the Camino that I think is a real metaphor for life, because every day we get up and we think we know what we're going to do that day. We think we know where we're going, and we really don't. Mm-hmm. But the Camino is like a lesson in that. Mm-hmm. Of every day, you it begins to sink into you that you're really out there. You do not know what's going to happen.
Right. So what about terrain? You guys are both starting from Saint-Jean, and you're going to cross the Pyrenees. That sounds pretty challenging.
There are 3 mountain ranges, as I understand it, that you cross. But we have a tremendous advantage here, because the highest pass that you walk on is 1,400 meters. Well, that's Silver City.
Mm-hmm.
That's 6,000 feet. And those of us who experience walking up in the Mogollons at 9,000 feet, or for many years I walked in the Sangres, which was 12,000 feet, I think we have a lung advantage over many people.
Yeah, I think we do too. It is the very first day out of Saint-Jean is the most challenging day because you climb about, I may be wrong here, but I think it's about 4,800 feet. Mm-hmm. Because you're almost at sea level in Saint-Jean. And the very first day, you climb about 4,800 feet in 12 miles. Mm-hmm. And then you still got another 4 or 5 miles to walk to the nearest place to stay. And that's mostly downhill, that last 4 or 5 miles. And then there's other mountains that you walk through, but that's the most rugged. Mm-hmm. So you get baptized by fire the first day.
Well, Ron shared with me a guidebook by a man named John Brierley, and it's very helpful because in every space of time, there's a contour that shows you whether you're going up or down and what the altitude change is. And
okay.
I guess I'm most worried, actually, about the meseta, which is this big area, 200 miles or so
also,
in the middle of the walk, which is very, very flat, but very dry and very hot.
Yes, okay. It's the plains, and I believe that's at least 10 or 12 days of walking, and mm-hmm. that's also the part. I didn't walk through any area like that. I was walking through hills mm-hmm. and mountains last year, mm-hmm. and this year there will be at least 10 to 12 days of walking through plains, mm-hmm. and what I've heard other pilgrims say, some pilgrims love it, and some pilgrims say it drives them absolutely nuts to walk that many days just through flatlands. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be an experience that I didn't have last year.
Now, is the Camino, I imagine it's there's a lot of variety. Sometimes you're on trails. Sometimes are you on roads or dirt roads or paved roads?
Yes, there's everything imaginable. Mm-hmm. So you walk on trails. You walk on rocky paths through the wilderness, maybe through the mountains with no trees. You may walk on dirt paths with trees all around you and lots of shade. You may walk down a little gravel road through the countryside. You may walk on a little paved road through the countryside. You're going to walk. The most unpleasant part is walking along the shoulder of major, like what we would call interstate highways, with trucks zipping right by you. So it's a combination of every kind of situation that you can imagine for walking.
And I have sort of a personal question. How do you go to the bathroom on the Camino? How does that work?
I've been asked that so many times. And the interesting thing is that, you know, this particular path is so well developed. They're set up for pilgrims. It's their economy, really, for a lot of the villages. You don't walk more than usually. Now, I walked 8 miles last year one time without, you know, going being in a village or whatever. But you usually don't walk more than 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 miles without passing through a village. Most of those villages will have a little cafe. People stop and get a cup of coffee and a roll or something. They all have bathrooms. And, you know, to be blunt, you may have to find a place outside once in a while.
Right.
But that's fairly rare.
Okay.
That was fairly rare for me last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, it's personally sounds super challenging. And I know maybe very briefly, Mary and Ron, you both have some knee issues? Is that right? I know Ron has a knee issue. Mary, did you have
I had a knee issue last year, but I'm such a fan of physical therapy. I did some
that
physical
you're over
therapy.
It.
It's fine.
Good.
Well, the most I've walked so far carrying my pack is 6 miles. But this morning, because it was so muddy out in the Gila Valley, I walked all 6 miles on macadam, on pavement. And so I think if I can do that and not have any knee issues, I'm okay.
You're going to be okay.
Yeah.
About 4 or 5 years ago, I fell on ice down a flight of stairs and injured one knee.
Oh, wow.
Which actually it turned out to be a slightly torn meniscus. And it hurt me for about 6 months and then didn't hurt me again until last year, about 2 or 3 months before I started the Camino, it started hurting again. And I actually got a brace. And the first 4.5 or 5 days of walking, I walked with pain, with the brace. And then inexplicably, it stopped hurting and never hurt me again. This year, when I began to train a little bit again by hiking around here and hiked as much as 10 miles and of climbing and so forth, it was bothering me a little bit, but that seems to have gone away. And so I'll take the brace with me and I'll deal with it.
And you both are training, so you feel confident you're going to be able to.
Well, last year, you know, as I said, I'm not an experienced hiker or backpacker. Last year, the furthest I had ever walked, and I walked that without stopping, was 10 miles. The furthest I had walked carrying my pack was 6 miles, and I did that numerous times around here. And really, I didn't have any problems. It was remarkable to me. And it's not a race. You can stop the shade of a tree, if there is a tree, and have something. You can stop at a little cafe and have a cup of coffee and visit with people or whatever. So, again, you can take your time
right,
and set your own pace. Yeah.
So let's take a short break and continue our discussion about El Camino Walk for the Gila. Welcome back to Earth Matters. We're here today with our guests, Ron Henry and Mary Burton Risley, talking about El Camino Walk for the Gila. And my understanding is that there are special places along the Camino where pilgrims stop to pray or reflect upon the reasons for their journey. One such place is Cruz de Ferro. And I'm wondering if Ron and Mary, you can tell us where each of you'll be stopping and what you'll be doing for the Gila River.
Well, I stopped there last year, and there are a lot of places to stop, but I stopped there last year and added a rock, which is the traditional thing to do, and I did it for a friend of mine who was dying of cancer. This year, I will probably be taking a bus through that area. I plan to take a small rock from the Gila River. And if I make it onto the Atlantic Ocean, I'm going to toss that rock in honor of the river into the Atlantic Ocean.
Great. And Mary, what about you?
Well, I'm planning to carry a rock from a volcanic rock. It actually floats, this rock, because it is made out of pumice, and it's very, very light, and it's shaped in the shape of a heart. And so I plan to leave that at Cruz Ferro. It's been one of my favorite rocks for many years, but I decided to, partly because it's very light, to carry it with me and to leave it at the Cruz de Ferro in honor of the river.
And Cruz de Ferro, tell our listeners, maybe you guys could describe, Ron, you've been there before. It's like this big mound of rocks,
there's
right?
There's a huge mound of rocks that has just accumulated over the years. I'm not sure how the tradition got started, but people started bringing rocks to this particular place in honor of a person or something. And there's a large, I don't know what to call it, a very tall pole there with a cross on top. And people also will put photographs. They will put notes if they're praying for someone or wanting to remember someone in a special way. So it's just that kind of a very holy place.
Interesting. So, Mary and Ron, how can people support you in El Camino Walk for the Gila? What would you like folks to do to provide their support for both of you?
Well, the most important thing is to engage with the efforts to save the river. And there are meetings coming up. Allison and the GRIP, the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance, Gila Conservation Coalition are happy to let you know. If you let them know, give them your email. They will let you know when these meetings are coming. And of course, the best possible thing that could come out of this walk for me would be a huge outpouring of support for saving this river, for protecting the river. I walked in the 4th of July parade with a number of other people, and the response from people along Hudson and Bullard Street was enormous. You know, when we, as the parading people, were saying, keep our river free, there was an echo from the people watching the parade. So I think it's possible to generate a huge loyalty to our beautiful river. And as I said before, this is a small effort, but I'm hoping that as a result of my walking and Ron walking, that more people will make contributions, more people will engage, and that we will be able to preserve the river as it has always been.
I agree with everything she just said. And just will add that, yes, I'm seeking sponsorships for my walk, and those kinds of contributions would go for the benefit of preserving the river.
And people can find out more on a website that's been set up for El Camino Walk for the Gila at razoo.com. Razoo is spelled razoo.com. And just type in El Camino Walk for the Gila, and that'll come right up. And you can learn more about the personal reasons that Mary and Ron will be doing this walk. And there are a couple videos there and photos, and it's a very great site, and you can find out more about how to support both Ron and Mary. So, Mary, how do you imagine you're going to feel when you get to the end of El Camino?
Well, I think for one thing, I will feel more fit than I have been in a long time. When I first moved down to the Gila in 1998, I really seriously gardened. We didn't sell the produce, but I would almost say farmed. And it was, you know, gardening with your hands. And I was pretty darn fit after those couple of years. And I mentioned I was a hiking guide. I was fit then. But I have not been so fit in the last few years. So even in the training for making this pilgrimage, I see that, you know, when you're 70 years old, your muscles are not as happy to firm up and get strong as they were when you were 30. But I think I will feel that way, and I think I will feel very happy to have been able to stick to a discipline that I set for myself. And I'm hoping that that will have spiritual fruits for me.
And I just thought of a metaphor, since we've been talking about metaphors and sticking to the Camino. I think that's an apt metaphor for this battle to protect the Gila River, because
that's
it's
right.
been going on for 30 years.
Yeah.
And Dutch Salmon, for instance, has been involved in this fight for 30
yes.
years.
Yeah.
And so that stick-to-itiveness and determination and
yeah.
long-term commitment is really important, and I think is reflective in what it's going to take to complete
yeah.
the Camino.
It's just important
yes.
to show up, you know, when there's something that is happening and that you care about. It's just really important to show up by either going to the meeting or writing a letter to the paper or contacting our representatives. Just show up.
Ron, what about you? How are you going to feel the second time around?
I'm not going to predict that. I mean, I think I'll feel good that I did this for the river. Beyond that, I don't know, because actually I was surprised last year. I kept telling myself all along the way that it was not about the destination, it was about the journey, and it certainly was. But I have to say that the next day after I arrived in Santiago, I found myself very low energy. And at first I thought, oh yeah, of course, because you're tired, you've been walking for 13 days. But then I realized it wasn't that at all, that there was some kind of a subtle letdown. It's like, oh my, what do I do now?
Yeah.
So I really don't have a good handle on, I'm not going to predict what it'll feel like for me, but if I get to walk onto the ocean, I want to spend at least two or three days there writing and kind of settling in with the experience that I've had.
And Ron, since you've already done the Camino, I'm wondering if you could tell our listeners, do you have a favorite story from your experience last year that you'd like to share?
Oh gosh,
with us?
I have lots of stories, of course, but the one that comes to me is I was walking through this town, and the town seemed almost deserted, and it turned out it was a Sunday morning, and I didn't even know what day of the week it was. I stopped at a little sidewalk cafe, and I'm sitting sitting there drinking coffee, and a white-haired woman comes walking across the street, and she's carrying a pack much heavier than mine. She goes in and gets her coffee and comes out and sits at the next table. And so, as pilgrims do with each other, I said, so where are you from? And she said, I'm from Berlin. And I said, do you speak English? She says, yes. And so I said, where did you start your Camino? And she said, Berlin. And I was pretty flabbergasted. And I said to her, so, which was another common question that people ask each other, so how many days have you been walking? And she said, 4.5 months.
Wow.
And the irony of this is that I was on my 10th day feeling pretty good about myself, having walked 10 days. And it was another experience that I've had many of, which is every time it seems like that I have pride about something, I get my comeuppance real quick.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Ron and Mary, and telling us about El Camino Walk for the Gila. We wish you both good luck, and thank you so much for dedicating your journeys to the Gila River. For more information on El Camino Walk for the Gila and how you can support Ron and Mary's journey, visit www.razoo.com and just type in El Camino Walk for the Gila. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in today, and we hope you'll join us again for next week's edition of Earth Matters here on Gila Membrus Community Radio.